Go to Romans chapter 1, please. I'd like to thank the guys in our sound system. They're getting used to the new sound system. So that's a good thing. A lot of work up there. And the only thing they can't figure out is how to take out my stuttering when I speak. But once they get that mastered, we're in good shape. Amen. I do encourage you to continue to pray for pastor that's on vacation, because every time he shows up for church so far, they've asked him to preach. So the Lord bless his preaching, also safety as they travel, and pray that they have a good time. At this time, I'm going to read Romans chapter 1, verse 13 through 16, and then I'm going to have Brother Schwartz stand and pray for us after that. Romans chapter 1 and verse 13 says this: "Now I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let there hereto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Verse 14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and his salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Brother Schwartz, if you'd pray for us, please, brother. We see here in our text, of course, it's written by the Apostle Paul. I guess if I had to have a title of the message this morning, it would be Why Paul Was Not Ashamed of the Gospel of Christ. Why Paul was not ashamed of the Gospel of Christ. I'm going to give you, it's 3 points. The first point is going to be that Paul knew what God had done in his life and the life of others. Second point, we see that God knew the direction sin would take people. And the third point would be that Paul knew the heart of God. We'll still talk back at Romans chapter 1, verse 1 now. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, as servant of Jesus Christ, we see Paul, he was a servant of Christ. Now let's go back and look at another part of Paul's life. If you would go ahead and turn back to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 7. We'll go through our Bibles this morning. Acts chapter 7. Verse 57 through 60, we're going to take a look at Saul. I mean, at this time, it was Saul who became Paul later. Acts chapter 7, in verse 56, says this, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open." This is a man named Stephen speaking. "And behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried with a loud voice, and their ears and they stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their feet at a young man's clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, called up upon God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my sight." So that's when we see Saul there. Now look over to Acts chapter 8, verse 1 through 3. The next time we see Saul, Acts chapter 8, verse 1 through 3. Again, my point is this: it's a reason that Paul wasn't ashamed. It's because he saw what he had done. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. "And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation of him." Saul, he greatly persecuted the church. Now over to Acts chapter 9, and then we'll stop here for a little bit. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 9. Again, we look at the life of Saul. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. And behold, desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So, You know? So what we see here in our text, we saw that Paul was a servant. But let me come up here real quick. I love using illustrations. Here's my wife. Let's pretend that she saw. Okay, she saw he was short. They say she had bad eyesight. They say she saw. We saw. And the first time that we saw Saul there, first time that we seen Saul was he was there. And he was holding the coats of the men that stoned Stephen. Now, Stephen was the first martyr. And Saul hated Christians. And as those men come to kill Stephen, he held their coats of the men that killed Stephen. And then, we saw in the next chapter, come over here, Saul. We saw in the next chapter, not only did he held the coats, but he also went from town to town. And when Saul would find a Christian, he would imprison them and he would torture them. Saul hated Christians. Saul hated Christians. And then over in Acts chapter 9, we see Saul again. He's on the road. He was going to Damascus. He had permission from the leaders there to go and find people that was Christians and to bring them out and put them in prison. In those days, it wasn't they went to jail for 10 days and they're out. When they went to jail, they stayed in jail, they was under great persecution, or they were slain. Saul hated Christians so badly that he held the coats of the men that stoned Stephen. He hated Christians so badly that he went from town to town to make sure that he could persecute and trying to stop Christianity. And then we see in Acts chapter 9 that he's on the way there. The Bible says, a bright light shone from heaven. And Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Saul knew who God was. Saul knew instantly that he was standing before an almighty God. And that day, Saul accepted Christ as his Savior. He became a born-again believer. Why do you take it so personally, the gospel? Number one, he had seen what it did to the life of Stephen. Here's Stephen that was a believer that even though he was facing a mob, knowing he would die, he preached a tremendous, powerful message that day. The men were so angry, and they were so angry that they grabbed stones and they took him out of the city and they was going to stone him. And yet he continued to preach the gospel. He didn't back down. Paul had seen something in the life of Stephen that had got his attention. And then you go over here, come over here a little bit, Saul, you know, and then going from house to house, arresting Christians, dragging parents away from their kids, taking people out to where you know they'd be slain for their faith. All those houses he took folks out of. He had seen something in them that he'd seen in Stephen. He had seen the sincerity for their faith. He had seen a deep faith that was rooted and that would not be, and it would not be denied. Knowing that they was going to die, going for persecution, whatever lay faced them, they did not bow. He knew in the life of Stephen, it was real. He knew in the life of other believers, it was real. He knew. And when God spoke to him, he knew who it was. Because he'd seen how real it is. And the devil, look, there's several thoughts on why Paul took the gospel so seriously and so personally. There in our text it says, "I and me" over and over again. Because it was personal to him. Because the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, it changed his life. And Paul had a desire to see folks get saved. You sit down for now, Paul. Okay. So the first thing, it's surreal to him because what he's seen in the lives of others. So that's the first point. So we're doing good. 5 minutes. Now number two. Look back to Romans chapter 28. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. First of all, Paul knew what the gospel had done for him and for others. Number two, Paul knew the direction of sin it would take folks. Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, and the list goes on. Now, to turn over to 1 Timothy 1:15. Paul knew the direction of sin. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Now, remember, this is written in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Paul knew the direction of sin. With Paul, had been raised in a seaport town called Tarsus, and it's where the east and west would meet. All the seaport was there. It was a very wicked, vile place. So as Paul was raised, he was exposed to a lot of the wickedness within the world. And then he grew up, he went to school, he hated Christianity. But Paul knew what wickedness was, and Paul knew what sin does. Folks, in our lives, let's understand that as sin is destructive, sin destroys, sin defiles. Down our mission all the time, we see the results of sin very openly down our mission down in Elmwood. I mean the addicts and all the folks that come through there, they're homeless, they're hungry, and all this thing. It's all a result of sin. But sometimes I think that we forget results of sin affects us as well. I mean, it's not just a drunkard on the street, but sin defiles and destroys Christians as well. How many times have I sat across the desk or talked to somebody that said, "Preacher, I wish I would have done this or this or that. I wish I wouldn't have done this or this or that." Because now, looking back, we see the consequences of our sin. Galatians chapter 6 says, "Be not deceived, God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." In our life, let's understand this. Sin is destructive. Paul knew what sin did, and Paul wanted to warn folks. And here today, folks, I want to warn you. If you're living in sin, if you're here and you're lost, you need to get saved. But no, a Christian, but if you're here and you're living in sin will destroy and defile us as well. Well, we're going to book up Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22. Come back up here, lady, real quick. 5:22. We're going to pretend, Brother Gervin, I still use real life illustration. If I would take a cord and I wrapped around her once, well, a very weak cord. She's not very strong. A very weak cord, a piece of thread, and I wrap around her once, and she'd break it. If I took the same strength of cord and did it 5 times, it gets harder. And 10 times 15. And after a while, she's so bound by that cord, it has her. What was a small thing to start with, now has it become a giant rope. And it has her bound. As Christians, in our lives, I want us to understand this, that sin does that to the Christian. We start to say, but Slee, it's just a small, it's only a little thing, it's only small. I don't know why everybody makes such a big deal of this sin or this sin, but I just don't understand it. Well, look, if you look back at the book of Jonah, when Jonah began to run from God, he went down from Joppa, he went down into a boat, and then he went down to the bottom of the ocean in the belly of the whale. Sin always takes us down. In our lives, let's understand this, that God loves us, and God wants the very best for us. But God always judges sin. I'm thankful in our lives today that if we're in sin, you say, but it's not a big thing. Then quit. The guys come to mission all the time, and they come in. I mean, sometimes they just come in there so drunk they can't stand up. I'm drunk. I come to church. I say, yes, you can. And there's been some that got saved and came back sober later, and God blessed. And God does that. But they come out and they say, well, I quit. I said, well, then quit now. Don't want to, because you can't, because sin binds. Don't wait, Christian. Let's not wait until we're so bound by sin that we can't break the habit or the addiction or break that cycle of sin. It's important in our lives that we understand the gospel. So our first point was that that Paul knew what the gospel had done for him and for others. Second point is that Paul knew the direction that sin would take him. There's just an old saying that sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. In our lives, that's the truth. Sin always costs the Christian. And where does sin end up at? Romans 6:23 says, for the wage of sin is death. Because of sin, I went to a funeral this week. A good guy. But he died because of sin. With Brother Rainier talking in Sunday school this morning about Adam and Eve choosing to disobey God. Because man chose to disobey God, sin has come upon all of us. Direction of sin. Every time you go to the hospital, I was at the hospital last night with Miss Barnett. Sweet lady. Don't think there's a main bone in her body. I'll be nice because she's watching. She watches live stream every Sunday. She lay there. It wasn't her fault. It's a curse of sin. When I received Miss Teresa Montgomery, laying her in the hospital. Sweet lady. Not her fault. It's a result of sin. We live in a world of sin. I went down to Christ Hospital and saw Miss Cynthia, our piano player, does a mission. She's got I think I said it was E. coli in the blood, what Miss Sutherland said this morning. Sweet lady. Missionary's kid. Great lady. Loves the Lord. But she's in the hospital. Not because they're bad people, because we live in a world of sin. Every time you see sickness or disease or death, it's Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But there's also a second death. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 and 15 says, and death and hell are cast like a fire. Paul knew what God had done in the life of others. Paul knew the downward spiral of sin. And Paul warned to tell other people, there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Folks, I love you this morning, but if you're here today without Christ as your Savior, I want to tell you, I want to warn you, get your attention, please listen. If you die without Christ as your Savior, you're going to a place called hell. Because not because you're a bad, evil, wicked person. You might be a pretty good person. But because we've all sinned, we deserve to die and go to a place called hell. So we see number one, he knew what the gospel had done for others. Number two, he knew the direction of sin. And then the last point is simply is this. Look back at chapter two, back to Romans chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. This is probably our longest point, so don't get excited. Romans chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. He knew the heart of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Which he had promised afore by his prophets, the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul knew it was the heart of God for all men everywhere to repent. He knew Simon, you back there? Oh, did he have to step out? Okay. Brother Carr, would you read it in 2 Peter 3:9 for me, please? Maybe we get it right. But it's God's desire. Paul knew it was God's desire for all men everywhere to repent. He knew that God loved man so much. You find it by the car? No pressure. Go. You have your Bible by the car? Okay, if you can read it for us, please, by the car. It's God's desire. It's God's plan for all men to repent, for all men to get saved. It's God's desire. But just as in the Garden of Eden, man had a choice to make. They could choose to obey God and leave the tree alone, or they could choose to disobey God and suffer the consequences. And today we can choose to listen to God and get saved, or we can choose to reject Christ. But it's God's desire, because we've sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. With Brother Mick, can I use you for a second? Brother Mick, I'll get you to stand here. Look good. You look good. You always look good. Here's Brother Mick. Here's Brother Mick. You know what? He sinned. See, preacher, what's sin? Well, the book of James 2:10 said, if we've offended in one point, we're guilty of all. We've offended in one point, we're guilty of all. Mick has sinned. I'm not saying that he's broke all 10 commandments. I'm sure he's broke at least one. And because he's broken at least one, he's guilty of all. And because of that, he deserves to go to a place called hell, Romans 6:23. Say, well, what's sin? Well, a couple of weeks when we had camp out here, they had some kids. We had a hay bale set up, and we put a target on the hay bale. And there was some kids come up, wham, right through the middle. Great. There was some that missed the target but hit the hay bale. There were some that missed the hay bale and hit the ground. It was just all over the place. But you know what? There's only one that hit the target. And they hit everybody else had come short. Some missed by a little bit. Some missed by a whole lot. It might be that you're a little sinner in our minds. But the Bible says if we miss one, we're guilty of all. Thank you, Brother Meg. And because we've sinned, we deserve to die and go to a place called hell. But Paul knew God's heart. That God's heart was one day he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us. That God loved man so much that he would send his son to die. That the son would love man so much that his son would come and die on the cross of Calvary. The Holy Spirit of God would love man so much that he would convict men's hearts and strengthen them and encourage them. God loves us so much, but God gives us a choice. See, there in the Garden of Eden, after man had sinned and man had fell, one day God came along and said, Adam, where art thou? Man had sinned. Man had done wrong. And God came to the garden and said, Adam, where art thou? Can you imagine playing hide and seek with God? And I'm over here hiding behind the bush. And imagine what Adam thought. I'm hiding from God because I've done wrong. He knew. That's why he was hiding. He knew he was naked. How did he know? He had sinned. He had done wrong. He knew his need of a covering. And God took and sacrificed an animal and took those skins and clothed Adam and Eve. We've all sinned as Adam did. We've all come short of the glory of God as Adam did. And one day, God the Father loved the Son so much that he sacrificed his Son, that his blood would be a covering for our sins. God loves us that much. And then I think of Apostle Paul there on the road to Damascus, going to kill and persecute Christians. And a bright light shone. And God spoke to Adam's heart. I mean, to Paul's heart. And then over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, behold, today is the day of salvation. My friend, if you're sitting here today and you're not lost and you know you're lost, and something's saying, that's you. Why don't you get saved today? That's the same God that loved Adam that came to the garden. That's the same God that loved Paul and came down no matter how bad he was. Paul said, I'm the worst of all. That's the word of God. It's in the word of God. I am the worst of all sinners. And he saw some pretty raunchy people in his life from his childhood there to Seaport Town. He said, I'm the worst of them all. And one day, God came and spoke to him. And today, not because I'm a great preacher, I know I'm not, but this I know, the word of God has gone forth this morning. The way of salvation has been given. And I know that God, if you're here today, if a person is here today and they're lost, I know that God would say, that small, still voice speaking to you, that's because God loves you. Why did Paul love the gospel so much? Paul knew what it had done for others, for Stephen, for others, and for himself. Today, I can tell you what God's done for others. I've seen others come to these altars, get saved. I've heard testimonies of others that can't come here to these altars and got saved. And God changed their lives. And praise God for that. The same God that can save Saul wants to save you as well. What was Paul not ashamed of the gospel? Because he knew the direction of sin. He knew that if man didn't repent, they would be going to a place called hell. One day they'd be cast in the lake of fire where they'd burn forever and ever. Paul knew the results of sin. And lastly, Paul knew the heart of God. I love my wife. Come back here, lady. Come here one more time. Give me a quick hug. A real hug. Give me a real hug. That's better. I can always steal a real hug, a fake hug. Thank you. You know what? I love my wife. I would do anything for her. A couple years ago, when she had cancer, I went so bad to take her place. I went so bad to step in and change places with her. If I couldn't, I'm just a man. Imagine how God feels. He sees us. He sees the lost person that's rejecting his son. I'm sure he would love to be able to make you. But God doesn't do that. Whosoever will may come. Imagine when God sees the Christian that names the name of Christ, but they live like hell. They live ungodly. And they say one thing with the lip, but they say something else with their life. How that must hurt God. It's a bad testimony upon God and the gospel. I'm sure he would love just to, I mean, I'm sure he does it, or he could, but if I was God, I'd kill myself sometimes. But God's gracious. God's merciful. But there comes a time when God's mercy ends and God's justice starts. If you're today and you're Christian and you're living in sin and you know it, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that will he also reap. He that soweth the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. I'm thankful for members of days gone by that are still serving God. But sometimes I call people. I hear stories I don't want to hear. Because I've been here since full time since 1990, came back 87 to stay. I've seen a lot of people come and go. Been to a lot of funerals. And I've seen a lot of regret. Why? Be not deceived. God's not mocked. Christian, if you're today and your life is not right with God, let's get right. Lost person, if you're here today and you're not saved, would you choose today to accept Christ as your Savior? God loves you. God has done all he can do. He sent his son Jesus to die for you. The Holy Spirit of God convicts your heart. The church proclaims the gospel. We have a copy of the word of God. God's done all he can do. Now he says, whosoever will may come.